Hey there, all you happy-go-lucky mind readers out there. This is Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast, and thanks for tuning in to this first day episode from the Mindvention in Las Vegas. Now, we're not in Vegas yet. I'm still in Houston, right here at the boarding gate, waiting southwest to start boarding here shortly. And once we do, we'll be winging our way to Las Vegas, and this will be the 10th annual Mindvention. Of course, this is co-sponsored by Danny Archer and Robert Allen. And this year is going to be featuring, as a guest of honor, Bob Cassidy. I'm excited, too, because H&R Magic Books is releasing a new book on Bob Cassidy's effects. I just love his stuff. And there'll be some other great people who will be performing and lecturing and everything here, as well as dealers and whatnot. This is always a lot of fun, kind of an intimate convention. Intimate meaning there's like about 100 or so people. The interesting thing, too, is that Danny and Robert open up the dealer's room to any and everybody. So it's free for all magicians and whoever happens to live in Las Vegas, just kind of stopping by. And so the dealer's room is always kind of a hub of activity. But then when you go in to hear the lectures and everything, that it's just not a mass of people. And again, because of the intimacy of this, you really do get a lot of opportunity to sit and have some quality time so you can sit and chat and learn from some of the masters of mentalism from the world over, because indeed they do come from all over, from Israel, from Germany, from Italy and Spain and Japan, as well as across the U.S. and Canada, so in many other countries as well. It's just going to be fantastic. I am looking forward to it, and so enjoy the ride. I will shortly once I get aboard Southwest Airlines. So for now, Scotty out.
We're going to interview it right now.
All right. Well, we are at the airport awaiting our shuttle, and we got another 15 minutes or so, I guess, before it arrives. But as we're here, waiting to go to the Mindvention, of course, this year's guest of honor, as we know, is going to be Bob Cassidy. Who do I run into? Bob. Hey there, Bob. How are you?
Here I am. I was waiting for you, Scott. I was going to say, who are you? I'm not Bob Cassidy.
I'm not, this guy kind of look like
him. Do I look like someone? Yeah, I'm kind of hard to miss, I guess.
Yes.
So this is really exciting. I'm really glad.
I'm excited also about your new books coming out.
You're going to be released today.
Yes.
Artful Mentalism, Bob Cassidy, Part 2, Fundamentals.
I love number 1.
About 400 pages.
Yeah.
It's a compilation 400. Of stuff I put out over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
But it's all been re-edited. We took a lot of the photos out, put line drawings in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really happy with it.
Who did your drawings? You know, who did your illustrations?
Jim something. My partner, Jeff, he's the one that had the drawings commissioned. The names at the tip of my tongue, and I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
They're excellent.
Okay.
They're excellent.
Yeah. Now, I remember the first book, of course. It seemed like it took like 3 of your lecture notes or 3 of the other books and kind of put together.
There were several e-books put together. This one is 2, but the books that they were compiled from were done a lot later.
Yeah.
So the formatting was a lot better, a lot more photographs. Mm-hmm. And this time, the entire thing was re-edited and put together. But
yeah,
it's still basically a compilation. But it includes my fundamentals. It also includes my journey through the fourth dimension. A lot of my Q&A material.
Great.
I'm pretty proud of it.
I don't recall that there was any Q&A in the first one, was there?
Not really. There's with my earliest book, In the Art of Mentalism, back in 1982,
yeah.
I had the section on audience reading. I did touch on it on Messing Around, and the thing I did on Wolf Messing in the first book, the section called Jazz Mentalism.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz Mentalism deals a lot with Q&A. This one includes my 21st century Q&A, and I can't remember off the top of my head all the stuff we included in this.
Well, let me ask you, what is a secret as far as like with the Q&A in order to make it sound like you're just not reading something that's written piece of information?
The secret is the way, when we jazz it, I'm doing a lot of different things at the same time. And very often I just try to do the real thing. I'm not following a routine of taking a slip and holding it to my head, answering
it. Right.
That repetitive things like that tend to be easy to pick out after a while.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stop and improv a lot. I'll just point to somebody there, the second row back, it's the wrist right here. Who's got that? So, I call that a probe. I'm looking for a response. When I get the response, I'll turn it
reading?
Around as if I picked them out.
Yeah.
It's stage cold reading. It's a probe and push type technique.
Okay.
Who was it the other day at a party? It was really embarrassing. Who was that you bumped into? And I was looking around. As soon as somebody goes, I just casually walk to them.
Yeah.
And then you twist it to give the impression you were zeroed in on them all the time. I will answer a lot of general questions that people commonly think of. Okay, there's somebody in the back wants to know, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
This is interspersed with working from a bowl of questions or whatever. And that's pretty much the way
so
I handle it.
So you would have already captured that information. You have already peaked that.
I'll use other information, mix it in with impromptu stuff, and then I'll use something with my fourth dimensional telepathy that's a three-phase test, and intersperse that throughout the Q&A routine.
Yeah.
This gives the Q&A routine a finish.
Okay.
The picture duplication.
Okay, yeah.
At the end, two people on stage, the pictures match.
That's how you finish with a dupe.
Yeah.
Duplication.
In that case, yeah, that's exactly how I do it.
Interesting. Do you have to memorize a lot of stuff with just that quick glance?
Not really. Not really. You get used to it.
Okay.
You learn to read upside down and backwards.
Yeah. Over a period of time.
Yeah.
And you're not wearing a blindfold then?
No, I don't like to wear a blindfold during a Q&A act. I always went, what if the audience leaves? We did that to Tony Raven in St. Louis back in early 1980s. He was doing a lecture on blindfold mentalism using a legitimate blindfold.
Yeah.
And, of course, we were all doing jokes on each other. It was like 150 people. There was a PEA convention.
Yeah.
He gets up on the platform at the hotel, and he starts, and I signaled everybody, putting my finger up to my lips, be quiet, and I got everybody out of the room as he was continuing to lecture.
Yeah.
And we're all standing outside waiting to hear him swear.
He takes off the blindfold.
He took off the blindfold. Nobody was there. So that's my fear. I can see through the blindfold, that's fine, but I do like to make...
Yeah.
I don't like the loss of eye contact for too long.
Right. And so do you incorporate a lot of cold reading into the Q&A then as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't really call it... Some of it's cold reading. Some of it's just personality stereotypes working on probabilities.
Right.
Or leading questions I use a lot. Like I say about who's above the carpal tunnel syndrome over here. You got a problem with it?
Well, right.
I know
right.
I'm going to hit on something like that.
True.
And then I'll zero in, and then I might use that person for a special test. And then go. So it has the act has the flavor of being impromptu, improvised.
It's kind
of
fun.
Not, I know where I'm going with each part, but it's kind of fun to do too.
It would be fun.
Rather,
that's
because they have some guys they follow the same rote routine with each, like the old Hewitt's Modern Mind Reader, where you snip the envelope, remove this, get one ahead, return this, do the same procedure with the next.
Right.
That's so procedural that if you do it too long, somebody's going to pick it up. Why is he doing this? In some cases, I'll pick up an envelope, open it. Other cases, I'll just crumble it into a ball, answer it, and throw it away without ever opening it. Sometimes not even bother with the envelope. That involves a lot of logical disconnects, too. I'm eliminating every method that I'm actually using at one point or another.
Gotcha.
He said, oh, he read the... Well, no, he never even looked at that one.
He
never saw
it. Right. Right. And well, that's why there was one thing that I remember from...
that's why I call it jazz mentalism.
The first book, in which that you have someone that's thinking of a couple, and they're thinking of a vacation spot, and then something else, and then...
That's my name place routine.
I love that.
I based it on a coincidence routine. A person thinks of a famous person in the world, some famous place in the world. And very often, though... If these people have known each other for a while, there will be a some kind of a match. Like I'll have somebody say Abraham Lincoln, the other one says the White House.
Yeah.
I've changed that a little bit. Sometimes I do that as a straight remote viewing test and have both people think of locations instead of a person and present it as a double blind test. Now one of these two will be selected and I won't know which one it is.
Yeah.
And neither will you. Because you know in that routine the slips are mixed up.
That's right.
One is handed and eliminated. So the one that remains is now the target, and no one here can know what the target is.
Right.
So I get to present it kind of as a double-blind remote viewing test. But the kicker is when you go back at the end of reveal what the other one was, too.
Exactly. Well, that's what I was going to say. You kind of eliminate these things along the way. It's like, wait, where did he come from? That's why
that
I love that.
That's based on an old Bruce Bernstein idea, except he did it with his own, with Bruce's own center tear technique. I don't like doing it with a center tear because an instant access center tear, you only get a quick clamp. You were saying before, do you have to memorize things quickly? I take my time, actually, in many cases. I like a long, delayed read. Mm-hmm. I'll take my peek and read when you'd least be suspecting it. Like when I'm apparently writing on another billet. That's your billet.
Yeah.
I'm just writing over your writing.
Right.
Then I'll cross it off like I made a mistake and take a blank one and rewrite.
Okay.
That's my delayed technique, which now I don't have a problem. It's hard to read if it's upside down, if it's tiny. And very often, after I cross it, I'll write something above what they wrote and show it to somebody on the side. But with my thumb, I'm covering up the actual original writing.
Yeah.
So a lot of little...
Now, when you say you're taking a lot of time, then how much would you spend with each person on the Q&A?
It depends on how well I'm hitting.
Okay.
I might go a little longer, a little shorter.
Maybe go 5 minutes or...
Oh, I wouldn't go 5 minutes in a stage presentation. Maybe a minute.
Okay.
Or maybe 15 seconds if somebody's slower. You know, we're talking big audiences, so... Oh, here come our shuttle buses.
Is that ours? Right.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think that's ours yet.
I don't think so.
It's a balance station.
Is that it?
Is that what it says?
They will be.
All right, so we got a few minutes before we actually have to load this up. And I was going to ask you, since we're going to be having then the
As the guest of honor, we're going to have a roast for you tomorrow night. Is that right?
Yeah. I'm a little worried about that one. I've known these guys for a long time.
I was going to say, you have a lot of friends.
Yeah.
Quote.
Yeah, we all do rotten things to each other over the years, so I don't know how this
little
is going to go.
Little payback, perhaps. Over
yeah,
there.
But I get the last word, so they'll behave.
So we were saying that some of the people who were not going to be showing up here, Bruce Bernstein.
Yeah, I understand. Bruce, I don't know what the problem was, but he came up a couple months ago, but he'll probably be trying to be with us next year. I don't know what the situation is with Paolo. I just found out last night that he wasn't going to be able to make it. Maybe Danny will tell us more about that.
And that was who again? So that way
Paolo Cavalli from Italy.
Okay.
He's a fellow kind of legendary in the field for a lot of the material he's put out, but nobody's ever met him.
Well, it was kind of like Sartori. You know,
yeah,
I thought he was awesome last year, and I had not seen or heard of him. But
Sartori,
well,
we were fortunate at the PEA. He's a longtime member, so we've seen him about 15 years ago.
I do.
Sartori, he's incredible. Incredible.
He was, and he has quite a personality and presentation that he maintains everywhere
he
goes.
He's got the German approach. You know, I used to work with Hans Moretti, and he was like that. The whole European approach is different.
Ah,
Ted Leslie, you know, and Moretti.
Yeah.
I will now show you my mentalism.
That's why I was
anxious to see. Now you tell me what it is. No.
And so this book that is being released over here then today, anything else more that you want to talk about that? Or just
well,
kind of
it's published by H&R if people want availability of it. Also, Jeff carries them at Marketplace of the Mind. You can order from him or from H&R Magic Books in Texas, right?
Yeah. Yep. Houston, where I'm from. That's right.
Yeah.
I was just talking to Charlie Randall about this a couple weeks ago. We had lunch, and he said, yeah, I'm going to have Bob's new book, because he was going to be at the L.A. conference on history, magic and history. And
well, I was supposed
here.
To be at that. They invited me to be at that. They were doing a thing on ancient mentalism. They didn't want me to speak.
Mentalism?
Yeah, they wanted me as an exhibit.
You're going to be behind glass or something?
See, you got one of my lines from the roast already.
You know, that is an interesting question. How far back does mentalism actually go?
Modern mentalism. I mean, if you want to get, you'll have guys say, it goes back to the Oracle of Delphi. But no, mentalism is the theatrical form
true.
Of entertainment.
Yeah.
Usually we talk about the era post-1849 after the popularity of spiritualism when the Davenports came on the scene. With Washington Irving Bishop.
That's kind of what I was thinking,
Jonathan Randall
that's
Brown.
Right, Houseism and all that.
These guys were performing on stages in the United
States. So that's the beginning
that's
of modern mentalism,
modern you
say.
Mentalism.
Okay.
And then you get up to the guy, you know, the development of the secret writing devices, and which, that's in the mid-1850s. What was the Boss Tweed era in New York? Around that time?
That was the 20s, wasn't it? Or was that 1800s?
That's 1800. That's when the writers were originally used to nullify ballots. People would check off ballot for their vote.
Votes,
police people would be wearing a piece of lead under their thumb, so when they inspected the ballot before it goes to the box, they'd check off another one. Well, double checks nullifies the ballot.
Exactly, yeah.
So that way you only got votes for the people you liked.
Hmm.
So that's a kind of a technique we stole from them. The others we stole from mediums.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's kind of like with close-up magicians with cards that have stolen a lot of things, you know, from the card sharks at the table.
It is. And that's it. I've always used that as an example when people say, what's the difference between magic and mentalism? I say, it's similar to the difference between card magic and cheating your cards. And the same rules apply. I once did a kind of paraphrasing Erdnase, but applying it to mentalism, the things he wrote. Because the rules still apply.
Yeah.
The mere hint of suspicion, you're done. You don't do anything.
Right.
And then that rule applies perfectly to mentalism. If you think about it, especially I perform more in a classical world. The guys nowadays are using psychological presentations, and you know, I can read your body language. I can tell by the way your lip twitched that your mother's maiden name must be Brown. And I go, what are you talking about? I can't, but I read minds. I can't tell by how your lips were.
Yeah.
You know, it's like. But so the classical mode, though, we do go for believability without ever claiming it.
I've always found it fascinating, too, Bob, when I first heard that you perform mentalism like in biker bars, which I would think would be one of the most difficult things
no, really.
To do.
Really. They're actually
not.
A very appreciative audience,
yeah.
A good audience, if they like you.
Yeah, that's the whole thing about believability and being friendly. And
any audience, if they like you. And I got along well with a lot of bikers in those days. So I had a little fan club would follow me around. You know?
Do they really?
Oh, yeah, we knew where to start when the Wright Harley showed up. But he gave us trouble. There were some big guys standing behind him real quick. Hey, it's like me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what is your favorite venue to work?
Favorite? You know what? You know, you'd be surprised for a mentalist. My all-time favorite venue to work is when I worked at Magic Castle.
Castle is
I love working at the Castle.
Yeah,
I've been on and off there since the 80s. And I love it. I love working the cruise ships a lot. I love doing television. Banquet shows, all right. I just don't like the setups on those things.
Yeah.
Nightclubs, comedy clubs, I like those. But the Magic Castle is always special to me. I just love performing there.
And why is that? Do you think it's the audience? Do you think it's just
it's the audience, it's the people.
Yeah.
It's all the old friends.
It is. That's a
it's
nice...
It's the history. To me, going to the Magic Castle to perform for a week, because I get paid to go on vacation.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
well,
fun.
And it's a lot better now. You know, Jack Goldfinger's working with that such that... And you have
Jack's
your own
fantastic.
Butler and everything. Isn't he great?
Jack is great. He's a great entertainment director.
Yeah. He arranged for your own butler, you know.
Yeah.
And then, of course, your room and the...
Well, I was lucky. I got to stay in the Vernon Suite the last couple of times I was there.
Did you?
They opened up.
I was
the first one in there, as a matter of fact.
Oh, the first one in?
Mm-hmm.
I was in the Willie McCombs Suite.
Okay, where's that? The same?
It's right down the hall from there's the Di Vernon Suite. And is there John Calvert? I think there's John Calvert and Vernon. And then,
well, I'm talking about the apartments that are right behind the castle. Is that what you're talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, right.
That's
yeah.
where Vernon's apartment was. That's the room of those.
That
Vernon's
was
old
the,
apartment.
That was the... what's the name of that apartment? It had a red door.
Kind it's where Milt Marsh is up on the... he has an apartment in the corner there that he stays in when he's at
oh,
the castle.
When he's
the
okay.
That's where the offices are, his
okay.
office.
Yeah. Just on the tip of my tongue. Can't say that offhand. Well, anyhow, so this is the 10th one of these.
Uh-huh.
Now...
yeah, I was at the first, too.
Have you,
that's
you
weird.
Missed any?
Yeah, I've been to 1, 2, 3. This is my 5th. So 5 out of 10 I've been.
Yeah. Batting 500.
I usually don't show up at things unless I'm working. I've been to exactly one of these where I didn't have anything to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of just as a spectator and part of the audience, enjoying everything else.
Like I said, I like to get paid to have fun.
Yeah. Well, that's what's nice about work at the castle, like you're saying.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to
right.
pay to go, you know.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, listen, that's great. Thank you very much. I appreciate
you're
that.
You're welcome.
And what are you looking? What's the one thing you're really looking forward to for this MindVention? I mean, as far as aside from seeing friends and everything and hanging out, but what are you looking forward
just
to?
About every, it's really hard for me to pinpoint that. I think the roast is going to be fun, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say the roast. Who knows?
You say
that could be a major disaster. I mean, I look forward to it, but I don't know if that's, you know,
yeah.
or it means I'm just wary of it.
I think it'll be great. Thank you, Bob.
Okay,
I appreciate your time.
You.
All right.
Thank you,
that's Bob Cassidy for The Magic Word. Scotty out. I've just checked into the MindVention, and one of the first people I get to see right here is one of the co-organizers, Mr. Robert Allen. Hey, buddy, how are you doing, Robert?
I'm doing fantastic.
Yes.
We got a great
looking
year.
Great.
I feel good. Feel real good. My knees
that's
working.
And there's
again.
Danny Archer also. We're just getting started, Danny.
Hi.
And the part is where you're
you recording.
Yeah, I'm recording
yes,
right now. I'm just going to say about what are you guys excited about? I just talked to Bob earlier. He said he's going to have the roast tomorrow night. Who's the roastee? Who's going? I mean, who's going to be the roast?
The roast master is going to be John Stetson.
Oh, I wondered.
Now, you've heard of him, haven't you?
Yeah.
And there's going to be Doc Hilford is going to be there. Michael Weber is going to be on the panel.
A few small guys just getting started in the business.
I don't have my notes. I know I'm leaving out one or two.
Yeah.
But yeah, the roast is going to
be
off
a riot.
I believe because
we have never done that before.
Never.
First time.
It's not something you see all the time.
We used to do that at the 4F convention years ago. Remember, and that was funny. You know, remember from Tom Mollica and Jay Marshall.
Oh, Tom was a riot.
That was a great one. Yeah,
but we're just trying something new. You don't want to go down the same road.
Well, is that kind of what you guys are thinking about this year, trying to do something, or is there like a theme this year that is...
Well, we're
like
always trying to come up with something that's different, because, I mean, this is our 10th anniversary, and we wanted to do something special. But, you know, we plan every year to try to do something a little different. Can't always get it done, but most of the time we try to give them a little twist here and a little twist there.
To me, the funny thing is every year we get done, guys come up to me and says, you're not going to be able to top that. That was unbelievable. You just can't... You can't top that.
My wife says that too, and I think she's lying.
Yeah. No, I think she's right, which tells me.
No. Sometimes we end up...
You and your wife are done, I'll tell you that right now.
So we're trying to top next year is our thing right now.
Yeah.
Hold on, I got to take care of
it. Okay, all right, go ahead.
I know that it's hard to top it. I remember a couple of years ago when they had an evening show, and it was just great. I remember it seems like they had, you know, Bob Cassidy is kind of the old guard, and they had, you know, Vanacek kind of in the middle, and then had Colin McCloud.
That was an awesome show. I mean, that was hard to top. I'm not saying... See, I don't even like to say top, because...
No.
Each one of them is different and unique in its own way. We don't try to top.
Peking
we try
duck
to do is just,
from
yeah,
Beluga
we just try
caviar.
To offer them a little. Yeah, that is. You're right. I like the orange version, but anyway, not the caviar, folks.
Yeah.
But you know, we try to give them a good, solid show. Whether or not it tops or not is not our issue.
Yeah.
Although it seems to work because we try to give them a blend of different things. Because you know. We're all mentalists, but yet we're still all individuals, and so each person has a style, a little comedy, a little and some kind of a hook that's different.
Mm-hmm.
And we've tried to bring people from Europe and South America. You know, now we've got people coming from Japan and
how
Malaysia.
How many different countries are here?
Oh, my God. We've got Malaysia, Sweden, Italy, China. We've got Peru, which was an unusual one for this year. We've got, England, Germany, Sweden, Norway, Finland. I mean, it goes on and on. I mean,
yeah,
it's just amazing.
Of course, US and
every
Canada,
year it gets even, you know.
Now, I understand that Pelu, what's his name, that could not make it this year, the guy from Italy.
At this point, we're told he's being hung up somewhere in customs, something. He didn't fill out something right.
Oh.
We don't know really what happened. He was a major star for the show, but nothing we can do, but we've already filled it in.
Right.
So if he doesn't make
it. And Bruce Bernstein wasn't going to be able to make it.
Well, he's not feeling
something
well.
Else,
something
okay.
wrong.
Yep.
A health issue of some sort. I don't really know. He just said his doctor doesn't want him to fly.
That's all I know. Yep.
So
I remember when he came to my house one time, and I had a cat, and he said, "Oh, you got a cat?" He said, "I can't come in the door." He has some allergies, and
I don't really know what the issue is, but he can't come.
Yeah.
But again, you know, we're used to this after doing this for the last 15 years with the other show. We had the Las Vegas Magic Invitational originally.
Yep.
You just, you know, our first convention, the Las Vegas Magic Invitational, was 9/11. We did the 13th. And almost all of our guys couldn't come.
Yeah.
So the local guys came.
We're talking about
Matt King. We had Penn and Teller. They all came and worked free. I mean, can you imagine? We couldn't talk about topping it.
Yeah.
The following year, everybody said, "You're going to have all those guys again?"
Well,
I don't think so. Lance Burton. I mean, everybody heard about it.
They probably had time. It's
well, they all heard about our issue. We had nobody.
That's nice.
I mean, we had people that, a lot of the acts actually drove and made it by the third day from Kansas, New York.
Yeah, because remember, the airports were shut down
for a while. It was amazing. Yeah. So we started off on a let's try to figure out what to do. So nothing tops that. You know?
And so that was, how many years did that run? Like 6 years or something?
About six, seven years. And then
Las Vegas Invitational.
Yeah.
Danny's back here.
Okay. How long did the Invitational run? 6, 7 years?
Six or seven. We did of those. 6 or 7.
I was talking about our 9/11 opening. We were on the 13th.
It was
when you look back, it was great.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to see entertainment that would have to pay big money to see.
Oh, sure.
Well, not just the acts. It's just the fact that we were there.
And everybody was in such
tragedy.
A spirit.
Because
you know,
I ended up driving. I was supposed to fly to Vegas, and me and John Sheets, we drove to Vegas, and for 3 days, we were not caught up in the horror of what was going on and watching the replays
exactly.
It was actually very therapeutic for the people that were able to make it there.
Right.
But the other funny thing was I kept remembering, I said, because I know maybe some of our acts won't come, we won't have to pay them. All the acts made it.
Well, they made it. Late, but they showed up.
All the acts made it, because I said, we're taking a bath on this
one. Well, we didn't have a whole lot of people to show up for
because,
the attendees.
Right,
so that was the problem.
The
it's okay.
Attendees.
We had a good time.
That's, you know.
And so this is the 10th, and you're planning on going another 10 beyond this. I mean,
I'm going to
give it a try if I can make it that long.
My invention goes on.
If at all possible.
We're going to keep it going. We love this thing.
Now, this is going to be having Bob Cassidy as the guest of honor, which I think is fantastic with his new books we'll be rolling out here today.
He'll be rolling them out. Yeah.
And then do you have any plans like for next year? Who is that going to be for next year?
I don't know if I want to say
We can tell it later. I'll talk to you the third day.
We hate to say it because then if it doesn't work, then everybody goes, that was why it was coming.
Right. Yeah. We'll announce we have a guest of honor. We don't do a guest of honor every year.
Yeah.
But we have a guest of honor already picked out for next year.
Yeah.
See me later. We'll do it later.
That's fine. Yeah. Well, this is going up each day, so people who are listening to this daily. So, I'll let you guys know out there in podcast land as we find out, just as if you were really here in real time, as close as we can be. Well, I'm excited about this. Say you even got goosebumps. You see these. I'm just getting excited.
I thought it was standing next to me, but I'll let it go.
My nipples are hard.
They're always hard.
And so about another few minutes, we're going to be having the attendee show. How many people are in? About a dozen people? Or what have you got
attendee show, I think, is maybe 7 or 8 performers.
Okay.
This is people that come to the convention that want to have a chance to perform for the group.
Sure.
And then Thomas and Rainier from Power Labs in Germany will be doing 2 lectures today. The first one on effects, then they'll do a second one later on about theory and presentation.
I guess that's
these guys are very interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, very interesting.
Good. Looking forward to it. Thank you guys very much.
And we'll smoke a cigar tonight, I hope.
Yeah,
right?
We'll start tonight.
Thanks,
Sounds
Scott.
To okay, thanks, Danny.
Thank you,
Robert.
Bye-bye.
Scotty out. Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast, and we just finished with the first attendee show, and we still got about another 20 minutes before we begin with a lecture. I think it's going to be a dual lecture by a couple of guys whose name I can't pronounce right now. But I've got Bill Gladwell with me right now. Hello, Bill.
Hi.
And I want to talk with you about your show that you've got then in Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
That's right.
And how long has this been running?
Yeah, since last August of 2012.
And it's all mentalism show?
All mentalism show, 90 minutes.
And what's the name of the theater?
The theater's name is Iris Theater.
Iris?
Iris Theater, okay. And the show's name is Head Case.
Head Case, okay.
Head Case, yes.
And it's just a one-man show and kind of a thing, what, 90 minutes?
90 minutes of just me. That's
just
right,
you?
Yes.
That's all they can take, is
me and the audience. I use about 23, 24 yeah. members on the stage. Audience members on
okay.
the stage, yeah.
Now, how often do you change stuff in and out with your show?
It's been pretty consistent over the last year, but it's about time because being in Gatlinburg, it's a tourist attraction, so people rotate about once a year through. Mm-hmm. So we're changing the content of the show right now.
And so when you do you change it radically, or you just kind of slide in one or two things here and there and slightly
evolve? One or two things at a time, mm-hmm. and work those into the show until they're smooth, and then we may change another aspect of it.
Right. And what was there before? Is this a brand new theater?
The theater was opened about 3 years ago, built and opened about 3 years ago. It's at the yeah. bottom of the Space Needle, if you've ever been to Gatlinburg.
Okay.
And there was a hypnotist in there before, and he left, and I took it over, and so I'm in there. And we do about three shows a week during off-peak season, which is what we're doing now, but during Thanksgiving, Christmas, and all of summer,
yeah.
spring break, we're doing about six nights a week.
Okay. And the three shows you're doing, I assume, is what, Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday.
Tuesday
seems to be a really good day.
That's
and
strange.
Yeah, it is okay. strange, but it works.
During the summertime?
Yeah. Right now.
Oh, okay.
Off-peak. During yeah. the summertime, we do every night, Sunday night, so
okay.
Monday through Saturday.
So the tourism season really is the summer?
Yeah, it's the second week of June through the end of August.
Do you not have a lot of people come out and ski? I mean, they have that...
Gatlinburg does have the only ski slope and ski lodge in Tennessee. But no, it's Christmas time and Thanksgiving time will be big, but other than that, it's kind of slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you were doing a hypnosis act beforehand, which is why you took this guy's place, I guess, or how that worked?
Yeah,
out?
23 years I was doing a hypnosis act.
Uh-huh.
And
like school shows and college?
It was fairs, but mostly corporate work.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of corporate market mm-hmm. shows. And after 23 years, I wanted to do something new, and mentalism had always been a hobby of mine, but I had never performed it in public. Mm-hmm. But I was a performer. I had
yes.
done it. So I moved to Gatlinburg. It was Gatlinburg, Atlantic City, Vegas, or Branson.
Yeah.
And Gatlinburg seemed like a good choice, and I moved down there, gave myself 2 years to find a theater, and I found one in 5 months and
right.
signed a contract. And
it's been successful? So are you thinking about maybe moving on eventually to Branson or to Vegas or what?
Yeah, I am thinking about that. It's over the last year, I've taken it from nobody knowing me in the area or...
Yeah. Yeah.
In the mentalism world, mm-hmm. to being the number one show in the Pigeon Forge Gatlinburg area. So
wow.
it's,
yeah. Now, when you say number one show, is that based upon?
TripAdvisor.
Okay.
TripAdvisor reviews. And mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about TripAdvisor coming from Columbus, Ohio, which is where I'm from.
Yeah.
Moved down there, and the shows and attractions live and die by TripAdvisor in the Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge area.
Really? So
yes.
people are always looking for that, for advice, from like, where are we going to go? And so they'll look at TripAdvisor.
Yes,
so.
Absolutely.
Well, it's always good then to have people, you know, post on this, like with Yelp, I guess, you know, it's important.
We always used Yelp when I lived up in Columbus, but moved down there, nobody even knows about it down
really?
South.
That's
yeah.
kind of interesting. Okay, I guess it just depends upon area to area, you know.
Regional has to
yeah.
be.
Now, is it always you, or do you trade out? There are other performers who are in your theater?
You know, it's yeah. always me, but I do have guest performers in. Last June, I had Eric Dittleman in, and he...
I saw him just a minute ago.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yep,
I knew he was coming. I did half my show, he did half his show, and we switched off on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
I had Kevin Heller's coming in during Thanksgiving here. Keith Fields from England is coming in.
Yep.
He came in, and he did a few shows there, and we just... I book him around my show, and,
right.
you know... So if anybody wants to come in, give me a call, and if you're good, we'll let you come in.
And so how long is the contract? How much longer are you for sure going to be there?
You know, it's for 7 years. I'm locked in for another 6 years,
okay.
and so it's a longer contract, but... you know, I'm only I'm committed to three shows a week. So if I find something, maybe I can travel and come back. So
that sounds great. And so again, if people want to get in touch with you to maybe come and perform, or at least want to come and get show tickets
yeah.
or watch the show, how do they get in touch with you? What's the email, website, any of
that
kind of stuff?
You know, my Twitter is Bill Gladwell, so that's pretty easy. But you can go to my website at billgladwelllive.com.
Okay, or live.
Or live, yeah, that's right.
.com.
Okay. Yep.
And then your email address.
It's bill at billgladwelllive.com.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Got it. Very good. Bill, thanks very much. I'm looking forward to coming down there and seeing that show myself sometime.
Oh, thanks,
that sounds
Scott.
Pretty cool.
Anytime.
Good. Thanks a lot. That's Bill Gladwell for The Magic Word. Scotty out.
high.
All right, we're in the dealer's room now, and it's kind of noisy. I hope that you guys are going to be able to hear this, but got Banachek with me over here. Hey, Banachek.
Good to be here.
And so you're only here kind of in and out?
I don't even know when I can be here, because we're shooting, like, the last episode for our Spike TV TV show with Chris Angel right now. So I'm shooting that all week, in and out. And then we've got a live show that's going to be going into the Luxor, because Chris has to have major surgery on his arm.
Is he having, like, a rotator cuff?
Yeah. So we got 8 weeks that I'm going to be going in there. Kristen Lambert's going to be going in there. It's going to be Nathan Burton, you know, Nathan Burton. Tony Clark maybe doing a week. And there's going to be a bunch of acts. That's called Magic Jam. And actually, last night, for that, Kristen, and I think people are going to be truly amazed by this, because I see some of the things online that they've said.
About Kristen.
And they're not very nice. Yep.
She's nice.
Let me tell you something. She killed last night. She got a standing ovation in Chris's theater with a live crowd.
Wow.
She's not doing the little stuff like the linking rings or the cards that people are used to seeing.
Yeah.
Chris has taken her under his wing as a protege, and she is doing huge stuff. She did his upside down straitjacket above the crowd last night.
Wow.
Killed with it,
yeah.
And she goes straight from that into the subtrunk illusion with all the lights and all the wind and everything else. It is huge. It is freaking awesome, and I'm really proud of her. She's doing a great job.
Wow, that's great.
And I think, and I don't mean to be rude, but a lot of magicians are going to eat their words, and they need to learn to keep their mouth shut until they see things.
Yeah.
You know, stop making assumptions. They
too.
Make assumptions about She's 22 years old. My God.
Yeah.
You know, what were they doing at that age, half?
Wishing that they could do what she's doing.
Exactly.
They're just jealous.
Exactly.
So,
and she's an awesome kid. I mean, she is.
I know she thinks of you as an uncle.
Well, I think of myself more as a dad than an uncle, but yeah. When the shorts are too short, I'm always, hey, you need to put some other shorts on, kid.
That's what I always said to your daughters.
Exactly.
Well, so anyhow, you're not going to be able probably to hang around.
No, I mean, on top of that, we have another show called Whimsical. It's a touring show, which is going to be pretty much mostly just the cast from the TV show.
Yeah.
And it looks like, I can't say too much, but it looks like we have been picked up for a second season of Chris Angel's show. Now, that's not a definitive, because Spike TV, it's not been signed on the dotted line or anything else like that. They want it. A lot of it's going to have to be up to Chris, whether he can actually even do it, because his schedule is horrific right now.
Now, the show you're shooting in right now, can you tell me who it is? I mean, I know recently had Shaquille O'Neal, but who's in this one?
Nobody. It's usually pretty much about Chris. I don't normally know which celebrities are going to be in which episodes.
Yeah, they just kind of show up.
Because we shoot stuff intending it to be in certain eps, but sometimes because of the way when the show gets laid out, whatever we shot with that celebrity fits better in a different show.
Yeah.
So even the shows that we were going to have air originally are no longer airing originally,
right.
And later shows are now airing, and they're changing things around.
I gotcha. Okay. And so will this be the last one of the series that you're shooting right now?
Again? I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, right now, yes, but
that could 11.
That could change, and it could be like 3 from now. So, you know, we never really know. I pretty much know, I think the next one is Alligator, and then I Escape, and then I think Lord of Illusions is after that. And from that point on, I don't really know what the order is going to be.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question if I can. It has to do, like, with the picture or the photo.
Patrick Redfern. Good to see you, buddy.
Bob Arno and Patrick Redfern, same by. So, yeah.
Yep, Bob Arno, Pickpocket. Yep.
Yeah, I did a show with him called Hoodwink, which was kind of cool.
That's right. And that is some of the controversy just about the photo, you know, of you guys. You mind if I ask?
Look.
No.
Keep it in there, please. Because that is the pettiest, most ridiculous, childish thing I've ever heard. And it is obviously somebody who just doesn't like Chris.
You want to explain this for people who don't know what this is?
I will tell you what it is. We are doing a show with a bunch of acts. And it's not even just magic acts. There's novelty acts in it. So Chris is the main person.
Right.
So he's the big star. So, of course, he's going to be up front and in the middle.
Of course.
When you have to fit multiple acts in the same picture, what's the easiest way to do it? A V formation. Nathan Burton, long before, I'm not going to say the other shows, because the guys on the shows I love. It's other people talking about those shows.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when, you know, there was a whole thing with Jeff Hobsman about, you know, playing the gay character.
Yes.
It's like, oh, that's insulting gay people.
He's not gay.
Gay people love it.
Yes, right.
It wasn't the gay people complaining about it.
That's right.
So I've not heard anything about those people complaining about it on the show. They might be, but I haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
And I suspect if they are, it's because people have thrown negativity on top of negativity about it.
But it's just that your picture looked too closely.
We
to their
didn't even know
said.
It. Yeah. Really. It
looks, no. That's
yeah, no, it doesn't.
What they're saying.
I posted up a picture as a joke of the Expendables, which came before that because it's the exact
yeah,
same formation.
Right. Yeah, Sylvester Stallone.
And then I found a picture of Nathan Burton where he's in the very front with his fists up on his chin looking.
Oh, yeah, the showgirls.
And there are three showgirls behind him and their butts are showing, their asses are showing.
Yeah.
That's a V formation.
Yeah.
It's like, Nathan, you're holding out on us, you know? I have literally found over 100 pictures like that of V formations. There's only so many ways you can actually put people in a formation when they're
focus.
In a group like that when you have a big major star.
Right. That's right.
He's up front, you go back. I guarantee you, we didn't even look at their stuff. We had no clue. I remember we were at the warehouse getting the pictures taken. We're like, okay, how are we going to pose everybody? It wasn't, oh, wait, let's take a look at this other show. Oh, you know what? That's a really good idea. Let's pose everybody like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that at all. And I think it's just the fact that this happens to be a magic show. And that happens to be a magic show. Although ours is actually novelty. We have a lot of novelty in ours.
Yeah.
I think they felt that's the only what in their minds make it close. But it's not close. I mean, we should be promoting each other. It's great. You know, we should be able to promote them and they should be able to promote us. And,
right.
You know, it's a big enough world out there for all of us.
It's a big pie, so there's plenty of pieces.
I never understand where these people, you know, I think, like there's a site out right now where it's about busting Criss Angel. And it is one of the worst things for magic because they're sitting there actually giving away methods, and most of them are completely wrong. Like they just did one with a kid with a levitation.
Yeah.
It's completely wrong about method and everything else. But they're sitting there and saying, oh, yeah, the people behind are now trying not to look at the wires, and oh, they need extra light. The light that was there that they point out was actually, if you go to the nuclear museum, it's there. It's not out. Light.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, it's the most ridiculous thing. But the bad part is, I think everybody, every magician right now, should be upset and trying to find out who the hell has that site because they are exposing magic to lay people. It is hurting all of us. It's not just hurting Chris, it's hurting all of us.
That's true. It's not good. It's a poor reflection, you know, and it doesn't make the people who are saying the negative things any better in someone's eyes.
No.
It's actually just bringing
it doesn't
down.
Do anything, and it hurts magic. You know, those guys, if we ever find out who that is, should be blackballed from the Magic Castle, should be blackballed from the IBM, the SAM, all of those things should be completely kicked out of magic, and we should all turn our back. Kind of like the Amish when they, you know,
banish
someone.
You had recently said something on Facebook. You said, here are the rules of magic or something. And I would encourage people to go back on Facebook and try and find that. They read that at our magic meeting the other night. Jeff Lyons
had
read that, and he said, I want to take a minute, and I want this to go in the minutes of our meeting.
Oh, that's fantastic.
These are, what was it, the rules of magic?
It's Banachek's pledge, you know, and it's my rules of magic. But if you take a look at it, there's also another page that gives you sort of the explanations of all these things and examples of all this bad behavior. And I'm kind of like almost overwhelmed because I would have always thought it would be common sense in our business.
Yeah.
And I think it's what we should be teaching in the magic clubs just naturally anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm shocked because a lot of magicians, when I've done lectures, have said, you know what? I sat there. You did. I do it at the end of my lecture as well. And when you went through all those and you gave those reasons, I realized I've done almost all of those things.
Exactly.
And I was horrified and so disappointed in myself. Thank you for making me look at it again and think about it.
Yeah.
So
something you look at.
Yeah.
Is that posted anyplace else but on Facebook?
I'm gonna be doing something for Vanish Magazine with it whenever I get time.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna post all the rules, but then I'm gonna break each one down every month. And so I promised Paul I will do that at some point.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it may end up being, I don't know yet. I may put it up in Banachek Products. I don't know yet. We'll see.
We'll find it someplace.
Yeah.
Banachek, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Gotta let you go. A couple people I think want to talk with you also over here. I know your time is valuable when you're in Vegas.
Don't know why.
Yeah. All right.
Good seeing you, Scotty.
Banachek, you have too. Scotty out.
Okay.